We got a few folks with their hand raised. All right, Miss Alin. See what you've got.
Am I on?
You're on. I can hear you.
Okay, video.
There we go.
Oops.
There you come. Oh, there you are.
Okay, sorry. Oh
It's all
my
right.
gosh. Well, I raised my hand too because there was a little hesitation on everybody's part. So we've been talking about my adult children, who all seem to need quite a bit of help, with the exception of one. And yesterday I had a couple of calls that were distressing. And what I'm finding is I don't have the solution, but I want to rescue. I want to run to where they are and try to fix things. And when I get in that state, I usually find that I just, go get ice cream or something. So, which is a very silly solution, but it's something that we probably all have. So,
Yes. So first go you, right, for
yeah.
just recognizing the, kind of the pattern, right? And so this is where I think it might be helpful, and this will be helpful for everybody listening too, where we can think about an urge, right? In No BS, we talk a lot about an urge to eat, right? An urge to eat, an urge to binge. An urge is the emotion of urgent desire, right? You want something and you want something now. Well, we can have urges, and we do have urges for all kinds of things in life that we urgently want something and we don't give it to ourselves all the time. Corinne always uses the example of when she's in the, I love how like she talks about going to the grocery store. I don't think she even goes to the grocery store anymore. Somebody else does that, but she maybe every once in a while. I shouldn't assume. But when she's at the grocery store and somebody's ahead of her and got a million coupons or is taking forever, right? She wants to say something to him, or she wants to, punch him in the face or something like that, right? When she's in a hurry. We have these urges to do all kinds of things. We have an urge to maybe stay in bed in the morning after our alarm goes off. We have the urge to, call in sick for work, when we don't want to go to work. But then you are also having the urge to rescue, like you said. Did you say like rescue
Rescue. Yeah,
or
rescue. Feels
save
like I need to rescue.
or fix, right? And that is an urge too. And I think for you, it might be helpful for you to really get to know that urge and like and call it an urge. Like, oh, this is just when I want to go in and fix things for my kids, right?
I really like how you said urge means urgent because that's what it feels like. It's like urgent, this is an emergency. And as you know, my kids are all grown, they're all middle aged, but they have issues. And so what I'm trying to sit with is have the urgency there
Yes.
that I'm used to trying to run through many hoops to fix what the situation is, and live with maybe I'm not always going to be the person with the solution.
Yeah, and like what I suggest you do, again, recognizing it as an urge, normalizing it as an urge. And this is what I do. Like, speaking of my new puppy, right? This week my husband's been off and it's like I've been in here working, I've had a normal work schedule and I've been like, oh, I really want to go in there and just hang out with them and play, And I have literally take my sticky note and my pen and I say, this I actually have a note here, like this is what I'm having the urge to do right now. Like, I'm really feeling the urge to do this. And I just write it down
On the sticky note.
on the sticky note. And I'm not doing anything with the I am just acknowledging. It helps all of us to acknowledge what's happening by writing it down.
Yes.
I am just having the urge to do this right now. Don't even have to do anything with that piece of paper. You can throw it away after that if you want to.
Yeah.
But when we actually, that's the power of writing, the power of, I mean, and that is journaling, y'all. And, journaling is not a blank piece of paper and dear diary all the time and stuff like that. It is just, this is me having an urge to fix things for my kids right now. But you even had a little bit more to write there. You said, I mean, you actually said at the beginning, I don't even know how to fix this, even if I could, or even if I, and then you said, I am not the only person, or, whatever it was where you said, like, I'm not going to be the only person who helps them, moving forward or something like
Yeah,
that.
and that's also that is causing a lot of kind of sadness and grief and I'm in a process now of, I guess, of just kind of letting it be what it is. And that's so hard to do. I am trying to sit with that feeling.
Yes,
And
yes. And just like I was saying at the beginning of the call, right? Sadness and grief are part of life.
yeah. And that's what really rang true this morning when I was listening to you. I thought, wow, I'm really struggling for a couple of days now, and trying to sit with the sadness and then not eat over it and not act out and not try to rescue everybody.
Because
But
you are in a season of life, right? This is where we're in all kinds of seasons, right? I'm in the puppy season. You're in a season of, your children are adults and you still want to save them and you still want to, to help them. And, you aren't able to sometimes. You don't know what to do, that someone else would be more appropriate, right? Or themselves, right? You've got to just let them kind of figure things out for themselves. But just acknowledging and being with, okay, I am in this city. Y'all, we are in all of us is in are in different seasons where different emotions are going to come along with it. And again, the joy and the happiness and all of that is part of it. But also I think we're always grieving something. We're grieving, what has been. We're grieving the past. Y'all, grief is something that we are always carrying with us in some kind of way.
Yeah, and to be able to hold that and still feel like it's okay for me to do things for myself. And we were talking about learning to what did you say? The capacity to have.
The capacity to have, yes.
And I've really been thinking about that, because I have not, had the kids leave at 18 and be fine. I've still been in that mother mode where you do all the caregiving, and now it's like 50 years later, and it's really hard for me to have that. Be okay with having my own life because I'm so used to the other way. It's been a lifetime of that. And so,
So normal, right? So
yeah,
normal.
it's really a struggle. I'm holding a couple of things at once, and I don't want to just act out and medicate myself with food.
Well, and the struggle a lot of times, I mean, just feeling our feelings, right, is it is something we're practicing. I mean, we could call it a struggle, but we amplify the struggle, or we kind of create a struggle on top of a struggle when we're thinking it shouldn't be happening this way.
Right, and
Shouldn't be feeling these things.
point you made about we don't always have, you know, we're not always going to feel pleasure and happiness.
Yeah, and this is why, y'all, because we have to have the contrast of good and bad. We wouldn't recognize the happy and the joy and the, you know, special moments like that special moment with my puppy this morning when I was just, he was just napping in my arms. I don't get the joy from that when I'm not like, ooh, I love this so much more than when he's, you know, biting me and I'm telling him no constantly, right? We have to have the contrast of that. We have to experience both things.
Yeah.
To experience the joy and the love and the gratitude and all of that. And so that's why both sides are required. They are, and that's why they're it's set up that way. That we experience both so that we can recognize the good, right? So that we just wouldn't see it. It would just be the water we are swimming in if it was just all it was.
And I think what happens in my thinking is that unless I resolve all these things, then I don't deserve the happiness or the good things. I don't deserve it because I haven't fixed the other issues. And I'm always conflicted with that.
It's like you're always kind of chasing that resolution, right? Because a lot of times we kind of define resolution as, well, when everything's kind of okay again, when everything's happy again, or when everything's good again. And it's like,
then I'll be okay.
Then you'll be okay, and then you'll deserve whatever it is, right? And it's like, no, what? Like what's happening right now is supposed to be happening. I'm supposed to be feeling this, you know, this grief. And then, but also like offer yourself, what is the, you know, the positive part of this? So what is the, you know, if there's always the good and the bad or the positive and the negative, what's the positive right now with this, Alin?
So looking from the outside in, I would say that I'm giving myself space and time to do the things that I want to do. I don't know if I totally believe that's okay, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. It's like you kind of not trying to fix all this stuff, right? That gives you time to create your own life for yourself. But then I want you to come up with something for your kids, right? Like how could this be something positive for your kids when you don't run in and rescue and fix everything?
Well, the thing that I really think I'm motivated to do underneath all this is that is to separate them from me so that they can move on with their lives when I'm gone, because I won't always be here. And I'm also, I want them to have established a way to be without my help. And so
it sounds something like, you know, this is me preparing them, right? Be able to help themselves or be able to reach out for help. You know, to other people.
And I think underneath, you know, that's really what keeps me here and out of reach, kind of, out of the immediate reach.
Physical, yeah. Your kids live, you know, don't live in, you know, close to you. Yeah,
I do have one child here, but I'm trying so hard to figure out what it is that could happen for them. And then that's also trying to rescue. So, so anyway, I'm going around in circles.
Yes. And, but you are, you are just in the middle of practicing, you know, being the person that you want to be. You have, you know, kind of located yourself, right? Physically away from them. And you are, like I said, the capacity to have, and for those of you all with, you know, wondering what that means, that, you know, capacity, right? We are practicing, we are building our ability to have, and when we say have, you know, with Elin, right? It is to have the life that she wants. She wants to live where she's living and, you know, have the life that she wants with friends and her art, her beautiful artwork behind her and all of this kind of stuff. So it's like, we have to build that capacity through practice, through feeling our feelings. We don't, it doesn't just pop into our lap.
Yeah.
And you're doing it. You're doing it.
I'm trying.
Yes.
Yeah.
One day at a time. One day
at a
time.
It's true. And I think that when I have days where there, like, there's a lot of neediness coming from every direction, I haven't got the skill. I haven't developed the skills to just sit with that and be okay. Mm-hmm. So I think really the progress for me now is that I'm working on what's the skill mm-hmm. I need to just sit and be okay with not being okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think that looks like as you're building the capacity to do that? The capacity to feel.
Yeah, I feel like what should happen, there's a should, is that I would take better care of myself. So I would, you know, go out for a walk. I would, here it's getting hot, and I would need to go to the gym once in a while or go to the swimming pool or something. And
that's a big jump.
Yeah.
Let's start with something a little bit more.
Yeah.
You can definitely practice some of that stuff, but here's what I've been doing this morning with my nervousness, right? Leading up to this call. I'll just give you that example. I have been walking around. My husband made us breakfast. I was showering, getting ready, taking the puppy out, all the things. And here's what I was doing all throughout the, yep, this is just me being nervous. Even right now.
Yeah.
Y'all, deep breath. I'm just gonna keep talking about it. It mm-hmm. does, you're gonna think it's not enough. You're gonna think maybe it's woo-woo. You're gonna think, I don't even know. But y'all, that is what helps me. It helps me calm myself just a little bit because my nervousness is like, you think about your, you know, kind of your urge to, oh, I got it. You know, it's like, yeah. What if? That's what mine kind of sounds like. And I go up, 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 up. And it's like, just go back down to kind of the more manageable nervousness, the more manageable urge. It doesn't make it disappear by any means. But when we stay too long up in this, that's when it's like, it's too much. I can't handle it. And our go-to is eating.
Yeah.
Our go-to is eating. So just keep breathing. And then maybe, yeah, like I'll go for a walk around the block, or I'll maybe just go and step outside in the sunshine for a little bit, or I'll maybe, you know, do my little sticky note trick where I just say, this is just me feeling nervous. But what I've been doing this morning is I've just been saying that to myself, right? Not out loud even, or I don't know, I may have said it to my husband, but I was talking to Kathy Hartman yesterday on Marco Polo, and I was like, ooh, I'm just a little nervous about the call on Sunday. But just being with that and the normal nervous experience, and you know, feel in your emotion, right? Feel in your urge, feel in your whatever it is, y'all, we got to learn to be with it.
Yeah.
It's you know, trying so hard to get it to go away or to push it down, we just don't have enough willpower to keep that going without eventually crashing and burning. And you know, our coping mechanism is to eat.
Yeah, for sure. As I also know that from this program that feelings have kind of have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I think the breathing helps them come to an end faster.
It helps them pass through. You know, ideally, most emotions have a lifespan of about 90 seconds. And I like to think of them like a wave, or, you know, coming in, then when they feel the strongest, and then they're going out. But here's the thing. If we are like, no, I shouldn't, no, go away. If we're, you know, if there's any resistance going on, they're going to last a lot longer.
Right.
And they're going to come back. So that's what this breathing does. That's what acknowledging our emotions does, is lets that wave come in and lets it go back out a lot smoother. That's what we call clean, feeling more cleanly, is where it's like, oh, yep, here's that nervousness. I got it. I'm going to be okay. And then it can pass quicker.
Yeah, I know that when I'm resisting it, I hold on to that all day long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then ultimately I get this urge. So it's almost like childbirth, you know, thinking about childbirth. I don't know why I'm thinking about that, but the waves, you know, the waves of labor come and go, and you have to just breathe with them. And
you know, I had a private client compare it to a hot flash. And I was like, oh my gosh, because y'all, I'm in perimenopause, or, you know, I'm at the beginning, and I've experienced some of these hot flashes. And it's like, we know that there's an end to them, right? But we can feel them coming on, you know, for those of us experienced them, right? We can feel them coming on, we know, and I'm kind of shedding a few layers or whatever. And, you know, but we know that it comes to an end. And I just love that comparison, where it's like, okay, I know this is ending, and I know it kind of has a peak. It's like a bell curve, right? It has a peak, and then we start to kind of cool off again. And that is what emotions do too, if we're not resisting them and pushing them down. Okay.
Yeah. And the thinking has to change, because the resistant thinking is, I really need to do something about this.
Yeah. Because you're making it a problem, right? You're resisting it.
And the weird thing is, nobody else is feeling this.
Yeah.
You know, they're not having this feeling. It's me. It's all me alone over here with all of this emotion. And they're just going about their day.
Interesting. That's some interesting awareness.
You know, so I'm not, part. I'm trying to fix all this, you know, so they don't feel bad. But it's me that's really having the feelings.
But are they really? I mean, they're feeling feelings too, right? They're human too. But yeah, it's like bringing the focus back to yourself and saying, okay, because we can't control how they feel, no matter what we do or don't do.
And I also don't really know.
And you don't know. A lot of times we don't, unless they're just straight up telling you. We're creating a big story in our mind. And so that's where the thoughts come in. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And so it's like kind of calming ourselves down with our emotions long, you know, enough to where we can say, okay, what's the story I'm telling here? What am I making this mean? And that's another tool that you've got.
Yes. And I know some of it is, they won't, you know, I'm the only person that can help. So I'm making it mean that there's no other way for them to be helped.
Well, and isn't it helpful to get that out, right? And write that down so that you can see that and really start to question.
Yeah.
Thinking, right? Yeah. We've got to get aware. We can't change what we're not aware of, y'all. And so we've got to get that out and say, and start to question it, right? And start to say, is that really true? It might feel really true. But is it? Is it a fact? Would everyone agree? No. And so starting to kind of loosen up a little bit on these thoughts, especially around our kids, around that, you know, around our role as a mother, and, you know, what we think that role is supposed to look like, and loosening up a little bit and starting to question a lot of those thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Very much so.
You've got some tools to practice. And I think this was just really helpful for a lot of people. I mean, it's just, you know, insert your emotion here, right? In terms of whether it's guilt, whether it's, you know, whatever it is that you're feeling. And last thing, before I forget, the easiest way to remember kind of about, you know, resisting less, right? What we resist persists. I always like to, Coach Jane taught us that because, you know, it's just easy to remember because it rhymes. And so if we're resisting something like this urge for you, right? This urge to fix, right? It's going to persist. And so it's really this kind of counter, and it's almost kind of counterintuitive, or it's just, you know, it's just not something like, okay, if I actually loosen up on it, if I actually kind of get curious about it, it's going to lessen. Because, you know, when we try to control it, when we try to, I don't want to feel this anymore, it actually gets stronger and stays longer.
You know, it makes me think of something I heard a long time ago about humility. And I thought, you know, this has a lot to do with me thinking that I'm the only one that can help and take care. And that humility is not being lesser than, but it's being right size. It's being the same as others. And when I have that thought, I'm like, okay, this is my ego getting completely out of control, that I can be the only one that can help and do all this. And if I'm the same size, I'm the right size, it gives me that feeling of humility, that we're all in this world together, and everybody has their own path to take.
And how does that feel?
It feels very much like a relief.
Yeah. I mean, I got some relief, you know, just hearing you say that.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right. So you've got some good tools, and you've got definitely recommend that you go back and listen to this, you know, to this recording, take some notes and some journaling too. Okay.
Okay. Thank you,
Bethany. All right. All right. See you later. All right. Bye. All right. She is wise. She is so wise. All of you are wise. You know, you all teach us so much as we teach us as much as we teach you, for sure. Yes, what we resist persists.